advanced care directives cover legal issues. What's the latest on acceptance of those?
Well, I believe you have to really know what state you live in. I think it's different state by state. And I think that's important for especially those who are in the retirement age and possibly might have a house or, you know, a summer or winter place in Florida or something like that. But you really need advance directives specific to the state that you occupy. And so I would get in touch with, you know, an advanced care planning, especially right here at your university in Evansville, that are really passionate about advanced care planning to help guide individuals specifically about Indiana's and what it takes to complete those and educate yourself about those paperwork.
So there is no national standard for this.
You know, I think there's Pulst is trying to create a national standard for, you know, medical orders. But right now, it really is a state-specific when it comes to the legal document. What I'm hoping to do is, how do we empower the individual to really reclaim, what do they want at end of life? How do we talk about end of life, and how do we hope to experience that? And maybe we can color in the lines around this very dark subject with a little bit of color about adding the things that make us want to talk about it. Like, I want Barbara Streisand playing when I pass away, and I want fresh flowers every day. Those things will communicate to family and friends kind of the way we want to end our lives with loved ones around us. And the paperwork is there to support your decisions when it comes to medical care.
Some of your information talks about a personal blueprint for dying. Why is that important, and what does that look like?
Yeah, you know, I think we're the architects of our own lives, and that especially sometimes when you don't work into the healthcare system, you tend to not know what you don't know until it's way too late. And that's where the navigation of what I call disease management system that we call healthcare. It's really horrific when you are facing a chronic or serious illness. And that's where I think young people, healthy people, should begin this conversation way before a healthcare crisis. Because when the healthcare crisis evolves, now you're making emotional decisions. And my father always told me, I do not make good emotional decisions. And I think that that gets in the way of sometimes whether we are honoring those that we love, end-of-life wishes, or projecting the death that we want onto them.
You are on the Live Well, Die Well tour. What is that?
The Live Well, Die Well tour is a way for me to go community, to reclaim death from the medical community as well in Washington, D.C., state to state, community to community, town to town, one person at a time, and to really give them permission and really show them that they have a major voice moving forward. And how do we create a system that really is working for us at end of life? Sometimes this medical model that we're in is a lot of fee for service. And the more we treat, the more we make. And, you know, I don't mind that system, but I also think the individual needs to be fully aware of that and start asking the right questions. Is this quality for me? And quality can be designed by or defined by the individual, because my quality is not going to be your quality. And I think that's what I'm after, is how do we get people to think it, to communicate it, so that we can work in conjunction with our providers.
All right. Thank you again, Kimberly Paul, the author and lecturer on the subject of advanced care planning and death and dying, and maybe how we can change things
Absolutely.
In this country. Thank you for your time.